Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin B, Beauty.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Where are the sponsors? I'm surprised they haven't called us into their office and said, this isn't working.
Maybe they're not listening to us.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got free run for a while then. We have had a few calls and some people have been in touch with us. We thank you for sticking with us in the early days of us trying to figure out how to do podcasting.
Oh, we've had some nice feedback. I've been pleased.
Yeah. Well, today's show is about vitamin B, which is?
Beauty.
I'm sitting next to a beauty. Her name is Dee. She's a beauty for sure. You know, before I talk about the religious side of beauty, we could start by talking about physical beauty around us. For example, Dee, where did we live for 9 years that we really enjoyed?
Oh, we were in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. And it was just a gorgeous place to be as far as natural scenic beauty. We would walk out of our condo every morning to walk the dogs, and I would look up at those snow-capped peaks, and they were snow-capped year-round, more so in the winter, of course. But it was just an awesome, awesome vista, an awesome beauty. It would just take my breath away.
Remember us? We used to drive over Trail Ridge Road, the highest continuously paved road in the United States, and we used to love to do that. And in the spring, when they freshly opened the road going across.
Oh my gosh, the snow drifts on the side of the road were way higher than your car. It was just unbelievable.
12, 15 feet of snow, and you're driving right through it like it's a passageway. Well, we enjoyed Colorado for sure. We're in Arizona now. We live up at 5,000 feet, so we have a little bit of the feel of Colorado where we're living. Being a man, I will admit that I love beauty of the flesh. I appreciate beauty in women. You know that. But
yes, I know that.
But Father Larry, a wonderful priest, reminds me, and I try to remind myself, to thank God for the beauty that we see in women and recognize their dignity and recognize God's plan for them. So thank you, dear God, for the beauty of women. And
How about the beauty of our grandkids?
Oh, yeah.
Our grandkids, nobody else's grandkids, just
now,
ours.
Now, wait a minute. We've made a fuss over the Sweeney kids, and we've made a fuss over Mac and Catherine's new baby, and gosh, we're available for babysitting, by the way.
Which we are doing right now.
Well, that's right. Right now, as we're recording this, we're at our daughter's home, and the grandkids have gone to bed. And
their mom and dad are out hiking in Yosemite,
California. Talk about beauty. Oh, man. Did we ever love Yosemite when we were there?
Oh, yes.
Well, so grandkids really please us a lot. We see beauty in them because they are so innocent. They're so open. They're such fun. I sometimes tell the littlest ones that the tickle bug is coming to visit them. And
oh my gosh, does that elicit screaming and squealing and giggling?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun, and they are so open. learning it and doing new things with Nana and Papa. Ellery had a hula-type dress on today. I told her it was a grass skirt and that she better watch out that my lawnmower was coming around and may cut the grass. She laughed at that quite a bit. So, dear friends, there are many more examples we could give. I guess I would ask, are you seeing beauty? You may be struggling with some things in your life, but are you thanking God for the beauty that there is in life? Are there areas of beauty that you are pausing to enjoy? And as you'll hear in a little while, do you have an area of beauty in your home? That's what our show is about today, God's gift of beauty found in many different ways and places. We hope you'll be with us. We'll be back with our guest. Well, our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a longtime professor, sometimes spiritual advisor, and a family friend. I would like to introduce everyone to Dr. Anthony Lillis, who's with the Archdiocese of Denver. Hello, Dr. Lillis.
Hello, Deacon. It's good to hear your voice.
And yours. As I said in an email ahead of getting together, this is a wonderful gift. Our show today is about beauty. And I've come to be touched in many ways, probably a part of it due to the formation that I received under your guidance and help. But before we get into that, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your background.
Well, sure. I work at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary, and I have a degree in spiritual theology from the Angelicum in Rome. I also went to Franciscan University of Steubenville. I'm married, and I have three kids. Two of them are teenagers, and one of those is a senior. And so I'm up to my eyeballs and getting kids back and forth to school and all the fun stuff of regular everyday life.
Oh, yes. And what is it that you're doing at the seminary?
At the seminary, I'm the academic dean. That means I help administer the faculty and also the students' intellectual formation. And I'm also a teacher. I teach spiritual theology, which is basically I get to work with the seminarians on how to pray. We do formal courses on the theology of prayer.
Well, I remember our time together. You helped us deacon candidates many weekends when we were there for spiritual formation, and you already know, it goes without saying, the impact and the help that you have been in my own personal faith journey and with my wife, Dee. You know Dee, of course.
Yes, well, it was a real honor for me to be able to work with you and we were growing together. It was one of those special graces that you get to share with each other, where you're encouraging each other on the journey. I think I got a lot more out of those classes and those times together that we had than in anyone else, because as we were working in that program with yourself and with your wife and a group of men and their wives who were trying to dedicate themselves completely to God. And whenever that happens, it leaves a lot of room for the Holy Spirit to do what he does best.
I've been seeing your name a little bit in the new media world, and I'd like to come back to that with a couple questions, but let's enter into this topic of beauty, which is our topic for today's show. You and I share a love of St. Therese, the little flower, and that was part of why I gravitated to a lot of your teaching. Could you say a little bit about your work or relationship with her?
Sure. I've kind of done a lot of research into Carmelite mysticism, especially Therese of Lisieux and Elizabeth of the Trinity. They were contemporaries at the end of the 19th century, and I believe that both of those mystics, San Therese in a very special way, were kind of prophets for our time. They not only reminded us about the need to live a life of prayer, but they showed us by their very witness and in their writings what it means to live a life of prayer in the face of horrendous suffering. And the 20th century proved to be a very dark century, and already the 21st century is proving to be a dark and hard time where Catholics, in order to progress in their faith, really need to find a spirituality that is going to help them through those hard, dry, difficult times when they're misunderstood and they misunderstand God. Thérèse of Lisieux is a guiding light because she shows the beauty of Christ in the midst of the darkness of faith.
Well, Dr. Lillis, Anthony, I've spent a lot of time trying to help in my own small way promote the message of the beauty of Thérèse, and I know an awful lot of people gravitate to her because of the beauty that she radiates still. When we were in seminary on weekends, when you worked with us, one of the things that you assigned to us was a book called The Beauty of Holiness and the Holiness of Beauty by John Sayward, I think is his last name. It was a wonderful book. It touched me, and I am going to close out the show later after you and I are finished with our interview with a reading. But I wonder if you could tell us why you thought that was a good book for us deacon students to use, or anyone else.
Sure. I think today especially, but I think it's true all through our history, you know, the spiritual life, to really live it, that some people, they want to try to do it out of a sense of duty. And so they line up all the rules and they fulfill their obligations according to the rules. And sometimes in the middle of doing that, they're right in the middle of all these difficult struggles, and they begin to ask the question, well, what are all these rules for? Why am I living this discipline of life? Why is this so important to do it this way? And whenever anyone comes to those kind of questions, the biggest temptation is to give it all up, to give up the discipline of our Christian life. And that temptation will haunt anyone who is not struck to the heart by the beauty of Christ Jesus. And it's really the beauty of Jesus that shines through Thérèse of Lisieux and her witness, her ability to show the simplicity of the gospel that Jesus calls us to, the simplicity of turning to him. And so I turned to John Sayward to help us understand this this beauty of Jesus, that when we behold Jesus, the beautiful one, we see him, he pierces us to the heart. We're kind of wounded by love, and that being wounded by love makes us ache to do something in return for the love that he has given us. John Sayward holds the key to the secret of this beauty because he is able to effectively show that beauty is not something subjective, something that merely appeals to my taste. True beauty is an objective reality, and if I do not allow my heart to be pierced by the reality of God's love that is really there, I'm missing out on something profound and important. I fail to become fully human. I never find those reasons to adhere to the discipline of the Christian life that our church hands on to us, because I never really figure out that discipline is rooted and directed towards love.
Anthony, these last sentences of yours, these last thoughts, really pull me into the next area, which is, I find in my ministry, so many people are caught up in the day-to-day, what they would call the real world, hustle, bustle, busyness, a lot of the problems that are going on in politics and economics, and they struggle with a loss of recognition of beauty in and around them. You've already addressed this somewhat, but I wonder if you have any add-on thoughts on beauty in our world or in our faith.
Well, I would say anyone who's struggling with that, and we all do, I think it kind of points to the importance of making space in our daily schedules for prayer. Prayer is a supreme moment in our lives where we can spend time beholding the beauty of the Lord. And in fact, the whole tradition of Christian art gravitates around this. The purpose of Christian art was really to lead people into deeper prayer. They would see the beauty of our faith through the beauty of the works of art. And John Sayward's work, he points to the work of Fra Angelico and an altarpiece that he paints, which shows a holy conversation of all the saints together with each other, Francis and Dominic, and they're all around Mary, and they're holding together what's called a holy conversation. And who's on the lap of Mary but Jesus? He's the center of the conversation. That altarpiece, thinking about that, pulls us into this beautiful conversation around Christ. But if we never take time to discipline ourselves, to make a little bit of space, to think that that there's something more important going on right here and right now than the kind of hectic day-to-day routine that I've locked myself in. If we think that the most important thing is the conversations that are around the coffee machine or the political stuff we hear come through the radio or over the shows that we have on TV or any of those things that kind of dissipate our energy, we're losing out. There's a beautiful conversation taking place, and if we make time in our lives, we can be part of the conversation. That's why Fra Angelico made this altarpiece, was to invite people to take time out of their day to make this conversation part of their lives. And that's where the beauty is. The beauty has a dynamism that draws, evokes from us a response. And the beauty of holiness, whenever we make time for it in our lives, evokes a response of our heart, draws us deeper into the mystery of love.
This just came to me, excuse me, this just came to me. You're talking about the altar image. Do you remember a class, excuse me, do you remember a class when you took us into the church there at the seminary and took us and showed us many of the decorations, the icons, the stained glass windows? It was sort of like a teaching about the beauty inside of a church. And this was something that we had been in now for perhaps 3 years or 3.5 years. You remind me of the beauty of what we come to take as every day. And you refreshed an understanding of the beauty that we saw in that chapel there in Denver.
Yeah, I love doing that with students from time to time, precisely for the effect. Sometimes we're so familiar with something that we don't really see it for what it is. You know, making space for prayer in our lives sometimes reopens the eyes of our heart to what's around us. But sometimes it's also good to have somebody with you pointing things out. In the case of the chapel here at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary, it's a Romanesque kind of chapel with beautiful painted stained glass from Germany and beautiful statues. And the church has a kind of an inner logic that pulls you towards the altar. And not all churches are made that beautiful. It's one of the great poverties we have of our time, is that some churches, in fact, have given into kind of a cold sort of sterility that doesn't quite raise your heart to prayer. I would say if somebody was in that kind of situation, the best thing to do is to make a space of beauty in your own home, to find a place, a bedroom, or a place in the living room where you're able to put up a beautiful crucifix or statue of Our Lady, or holy image like an icon, Our Lady of Vladimir or something like that, with a candle, and set it aside as a place of prayer, a place of beauty in your home that reminds you of the holy conversation that is happening right now before the throne of the Lamb.
Oh, how beautiful, how absolutely beautiful. I could continue this for quite a long while, but I'm watching the clock and regretting that we can't continue. I mentioned near the beginning of our talk that I have seen your name on a few of the areas of social media. Do you want to say anything about what you're doing in new media evangelization?
Yeah, I have a web page called Beginning to Pray, and I post kind of short articles on the saints and mystics that I get to teach about here at the seminary. They're kind of like summaries of lectures I guess that'd be the best way. And the purpose of that is to encourage people who are kind of, you know, surfing around the internet, encourage them to take some moment, some time in their day to pray to the living God. And so that's been something. And I also, Twitter, I'm at Anthony Lillis on Twitter, for those of you who are interested in finding that. It's all one word, Anthony, Lillis. And the blog itself is www.beginningtopray.blogspot.com. And I love meeting Catholics all over the country and other Christians who are interested in the Catholic tradition of prayer, and I've had some great conversations. It's a wonderful opportunity that all this new technology has opened up for us.
Well, we are nearing the end of the time that we have for the show. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I did want to tell you about another book. Some people trying to read John Sayward's book, they get discouraged because of the length of it, and it's a little bit of something that you need to wade through and think about. It's not that it's a difficult work to read. In fact, it's extremely well written, but it is a difficult work to digest the full meaning of what's there. So I wanted to direct your listeners to another book that has a shorter reflection on beauty that they might very much enjoy. And the book is called On the Way to Jesus Christ by Joseph Ratzinger. And it's published by Ignatius Press. And on chapter 2, starting on page 32, there is a short chapter that would capture a lot of what John Sayward is talking about in his book, but it's only a chapter long, and it's called Wounded by the Arrow of Beauty. And I hope if people want to kind of get the gist of John Sayward before they actually launch fully into his book, they might read that brief chapter by Cardinal Pope Benedict XVI, and he will probably open up for them some things to think about they might not have considered before.
Great. So that book is On the Way to Jesus Christ by Ignatius Press.
Yes.
And the author is our Holy Father, written when he was Cardinal Ratzinger.
That's correct.
We'll put links to that book and to the John Sayward book in the show notes for this show on beauty. Dr. Anthony Lillis, a mentor, a spiritual advisor, a good friend, we miss you now that we have left Colorado. We always end most of our communications by saying blessings, and it has been a blessing to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
It's been a great blessing to talk to you too, and I hope God continues to bless the great work that you're doing in your ministry as a deacon, but also in providing all of us these wonderful interviews and in your show. So God bless you, Deacon.
Well, I sincerely hope you enjoyed listening to Dr. Anthony Lillis. He's the academic dean at the seminary in Denver. He was my professor for a while when I was in deacon formation. He has been to our home. We have had the pleasure of knowing Anthony and his wife, Agnes, and their wonderful children. Let me briefly reiterate a few of the things that Dr. Lillis talked about as images from the John Sayward book, The Beauty of Holiness and the Holiness of Beauty. First, Anthony talked about the wonderful San Marco altarpiece. It depicts angels and saints surrounding the Madonna and Child, all gathered in a beautiful conversation. We can see that as taking place in heaven right now. Our prayer, if lifted to that image, allows us to participate in what is taking place in the kingdom even now. And imagine our relatives and friends as they, in a sense, are awaiting our arrival. You can see a small version of that painting in this book that we discussed. Then Anthony talked about establishing a place of beauty, holy beauty, in your home. Now, the other thing that I want to share with you from the Sayward book is a word image on beauty, a beauty of much hope and tenderness. But before I share that reading with you, I want to tell you a story from my experience as a deacon. Not long before I was ordained, I came to know a couple that I started doing a little ministry work with. This husband and wife team were highly educated people. They were both into music. I would say they had brilliant minds. The husband, Ken, had been in a wheelchair all his life. His life circumstances started to go downhill just as I was becoming a deacon, and I prayed for and tried to minister to them. In the late stages of his illness, things worsened. His body started to bloat and swell. I think his mind started to shut down as he sought a relief from the medicines that were keeping him alive. Ken finally died, and I did the rosary vigil at the request of his wife at the funeral home. I participated as a deacon at his funeral mass. And I've carried the image of his dying body parts and then his funeral in my mind. However, listen now to the words of St. Augustine as found in John Sayward's book on beauty. In heaven, everything unsightly will be remedied. Lack of limb or organ will be supplied. Ugly excess will be diminished. There will be no corruption, no ugliness, no defect. Whether they died young or old, even if they were killed in the womb, all will be raised up with bodies in the perpetual vigor of youth at the same age that Christ rose from the grave. Women will be adorned with a new beauty which will no longer arouse desire, but only praise for the wisdom and goodness of God. All tears will be wiped away and every sickness healed. The chief quality of the risen body will be in its radiance. In the words of our Lord in the resurrection, the just will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And so I no longer need worry about Ken or preborn or infant children or young wives forced to leave their families at far too early an age. In God's eternal plan, they will be restored. There is beauty in creation. There is beauty in the new resurrection. There is beauty in the love of the Father and the salvation plan of God's Son coming to live among us. There is beauty in the mother of Jesus. And there is a similar beauty in the mother of your children, the mother of your family of origin. There is beauty in crossroads, ministry, and organizations that help the needy. There is beauty in Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step programs that help people to regain the high ground. My dear friends, God is love, and in love he created us and splashed beauty around us. We'll be back to end this Catholic Vitamins show on vitamin B beauty in just a moment.
Oh, it was great hearing Anthony's voice. I really miss our friends back in Colorado.
I enjoyed talking with him. And, you know, I think I should say a word about my voice. I've had three surgeries on my vocal cord. And while we think the problem is all taken care of, it has affected my voice quality. And I, every once in a while, have to clear my voice and I lose a little bit of quality. I hope it doesn't disturb people too much, but that's what I'm dealing with right now. And speaking of news, this is the beginning of the fourth year for the Deacon Tom website. So you can go to www.deacontomonline.com and see some of the past homilies and reflections I've done there. I want to thank our dear friend, Sue Laurent from Colorado, who's the designer and who implemented a lot of that website work.
And now we have a lot of feedback. And we actually have our first international feedback. Are you going to play that one?
I am. Let's listen to Inga.
Hello, Deacon Tom and Dee. This is Inga calling in from Groningen in the Netherlands. First, I want to congratulate you with venturing into the world of new media, Catholic new media. I listened to your second episode about vitamin A, adoration, and I want to share some experiences I had with adoration. As some of you might know, also are SQPN groupies, I only became a Catholic last year in August, and about a week after I was being confirmed, I had my first experience with adoration, because I went on vacation in Bavaria in Germany, and the monasteries we visited would have every day after the Vespers they would have adoration, and after some people explained me what I was expected to do during adoration, I sat in adoration in the chapel of a convent in near Salzburg in Austria, when the most wonderful thing happened. And when it happened, I didn't exactly know what was going on. So what happened was this. I was sitting in front, and the monstrance was exposed and was put on the altar, and I just was sitting there with all the stuff I was dealing with, and I did pray a couple of decades of the rosary, and I just sat there because I was like, I don't know it anymore. Please, God, can you help me with this? And when I looked up to the body of Christ in the monstrance, I saw something like a shadow that was moving. And when I looked closer, it had a shape of a heart with a cross on top of the heart. And yeah, it looked like the heart was burning. And I had no clue what it was. So after adoration, I asked some other people and I made a drawing of what I saw. And it appeared that I had seen the Sacred Heart of Jesus in as a shadow, as a picture, in the monstrance, displayed on the host. And I was the only one who saw it. There was no one else in the room who had seen it. Even not my godmother, who was sitting right next to me, had just seen a plain white host. So I was like, what is the Sacred Heart of Jesus? And I was explained what it was, and I realized that this was the perfect answer to my prayers and to my questions. And yeah, and I was like, wow, I'm only Catholic for a week, so I don't know what's happening next, but this is great, and God really responds. I never witness before I was a Catholic that God would be this responsive. I had an answer within minutes after my prayer. So after your last podcast, I wanted to share that with you. Keep doing the good work. You're doing great. Thanks for all you're doing. God bless. Bye-bye.
Inga, what a beautiful, beautiful feedback. Thank you so very much for your adoration testimony. And Dee, I think we have some other feedback. Let's get to it.
We have one from Pat Gohn from Among Women podcast. She writes, "Woohoo! CV is launched. Congrats. You made it. Now you got to keep going. Hope you've cracked open a bottle of wine or a beer or two in honor of your new podcasting ministry."
Well, how about a cup of good coffee? Hey, I've been sort of messaging back and forth with a lady named Adrienne Pertell, and I was saying that I'm having a little bit of a fantasy relationship with my new Mac computer. And she says, "You're a great, great man for being in a Mac relationship. Your wife may have a different opinion of you, however, for sticking her with that old PC. She thinks that the best PC is one that's on the recycle pile. What do you think, Dee?"
I'll hang on to my PC for a while, only because I'm more comfortable with it. Once I can pry Tom off of the Mac, then I might be able to play around, and who knows, I might like it.
Gripe.
Hey, we had a short and sweet one from Melissa in California. She said, "Loved it."
And speaking of California, dear, I may have cut you off. Sorry. Do you want to do another one? Come on, get in.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we had this all scripted here.
We don't do script.
We had one from Mary in Minnesota. Everybody knows Mary in Minnesota. And she just did a quick email to tell us that she used to live in Arizona, but she was also wanting to know what that song was.
Oh,
at the end of the last podcast.
Well, yeah, it was the first podcast, and it was a great singer named Jody Gannant, G-N-A-N-T, and she had a song called Great Day that was a runner-up for our theme song. I thought Catholic Vitamins, Stronger Faith, Great Day, it kind of worked, but we wound up not choosing that one, but Jody Gannant has given us permission to use songs from her album, Pivot, and I'll play that song at the end of the show today.
And I have one more here from Arlene, who lives here in Arizona, and she said, "First of all, I'd like to extend a big thank you for Catholic Vitamins. It is uplifting and inspiring, and just the right dose to keep us healthy in our spiritual growth. Your interview with Father Mark Rutherford was heartwarming. It helped me to think ahead to the obstacles my now 3.5-year-old boy may face in the future, how the body of Christ can change a young man's life, and how we as parents can always remember that we have the wonderful gift of adoration there for us. God bless you and keep up the great work." And she also sent us a story, a cute story about her young son. And we're not going to do that right now, but I'm saving it, and I hope to be able to share that in a future episode.
We love kids on Catholic Vitamins. They're part of the beauty of God's creation and plan. And speaking of beauty, let's listen to Lisa Hendy.
Hi, Deacon Tom and Dee. This is Lisa Hendy, your friend from Catholic Moments podcast and CatholicMom.com. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed listening to episode number 2 about vitamin A adoration. And I wanted to share a book with you that I've been reading that I thought maybe your listeners might enjoy using for adoration as well. It's called Jesus Present Before Me, Meditations for Eucharistic Adoration. And this book was written by Father Peter John Cameron, and it contains 40 meditations that you can use when you're in Eucharistic adoration or even just for quiet prayer. Each day there's a small 2 to 3 page reflection and then some very interesting questions and a prayer at the end of each. And it's just perfect for tucking in your pocket or your purse or taking along to adoration. So again, it's called Jesus Present Before Me, Meditations for Eucharistic Adoration. And good luck with your next episode. I can't wait to listen to it. You are natural born podcasters, Dee. You're wonderful. And I'm just looking forward to all the good things to come from your show. So thank you so much for sharing your wonderful insights and for all that you do for us. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, folks, Dee does Vitamin Scrabble every show. She's going to talk about that in a minute. And we had a winner. The first email I have in front of me here is from Shelley Kelly. And Shelley, I want to tell you that you guessed vitamin B, beauty, absolutely correctly. You just did it a little bit late. Sorry, if I knew how to do sound effects, I'd do a gong. But the winner was
Sean, the duct tape guy.
Sean and Nancy guessed. They said, congratulations on a great start, and an alphabetical tour of Catholic vitamins is a great concept for a show. And let's listen to our friend Sean and Nancy.
Hi, Tom and Dee. This is Sean.
And I'm Nancy.
From the Catholic Roundup. We just listened to episode 2 of Catholic Vitamins, and it was awesome. I've already friended Father Mark Rutherford on Facebook. Your interview with him was great. And I have a guess for a B vitamin that begins with B and ends with Y, 6 letters. Alex, I'll take beauty for 500. I was just wondering if I could make a special request for vitamin D, which of course would be duct tape. Now I know you're thinking duct tape is not a Catholic vitamin, but duct tape is like the force. It's got a dark side, it's got a light side, and it holds the whole universe together. We can't wait to hear the other 25 Catholic vitamins, and know that there are lots more when you go back through the alphabet again. Congratulations on the launch of Catholic Vitamins, and we'll keep listening.
Well, Sean, how about if we give you an honorary vitamin F for funny, but about using vitamin D for duct tape, maybe we'll wait. D, how long should we wait?
Maybe we'll wait till about 19th or 20th round of the alphabet. When we can't think of anything else, then we'll use it.
Yeah, and we'll interview Sean for that show.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What else do we have here to wrap up our show? We've got D's Corner.
We're going to do Vitamin Scrabble. And this is your clue for the next episode. It will be vitamin C. And the word is going to have 10 letters in it. It will start with C, end in N.
Like Nancy.
As in Nancy.
Yep. So that's vitamin Scrabble. And now it's time for D's Vitaminute.
Vitaminute for today also goes along with our vitamin B, beauty. It's a quote from Robert Browning. If you get simple beauty and nothing else, you get about the best thing God invents.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dee, how do people get in touch with us?
You can call our feedback line, which is 206-350-3789. Again, that's 206-350-3789. And you can also send us an email, and you can find those addresses on our website, catholicvitamins.com.
Well, we thank you for being with us. It has been a joy to get our program started finally. Thanks to everyone who's helped us promote this, put it together to pray for us. And we're ready for our goodbyes.
That's it for today.
Thank you, Dee, for being the beauty in my life, the beauty in our marriage. And I think we're ready for Pat Gohn. Stick around to hear Jody Gannant sing Great Day at the end of the show.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
It's just a little paper clip, but it's enough to change my world. So take a chance, give it a spin. Thing can change your world. Go out and have a great day. Go out and make a change. Go out until the universe. we've not yet wrote the words. And so I'm asking all of you, will you help me write the words to go out and have a great day, go out and make a change, go out into the universe, go out and have a great day.
Have a great day.